How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio. It is April 23rd. We're here every Wednesday, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, as well as YouTube, f4wonline.com/YouTube, and our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/f4wvideo. And yes, we're back. We were gone last week. We had a trip, a non-After Dark trip we had to take. I went to WrestleMania weekend. But you know what? We are back, and it is time to not talk wrestling. Which, after a week of wrestling in Las Vegas every single day, I am ready to not talk wrestling. And we are very happy today. We'll be joined by Tex Wesson. Been on the show several times, and we got a lot to talk about as it regards Bigfoot, Dogman, and plenty more. Tex Wesson joining us here on the show today. He's got a conference coming up, YouTube channel. We'll talk about all of that on the program here today. Want to wish a very happy welcome to AM 1550, SLC Sports Radio in Salt Lake City, throughout the Salt Lake Valley. Big thank you to Program Director Dino Costa. Dino, you know what you got into with this? After Dark Radio tonight, Bigfoot, Dogman, and more. If you have questions for Tex, you can text. Actually, text me, 425-780-7566. If you have questions for the show today, 425-780-7566. You can also send me emails, brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. That is brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. Any questions for Tex Wesson today, either text me or email me, and I'll ask as many as I can. And of course, you can put your questions in the chat box as well on YouTube or Twitch. And we're going to get into all of it coming up here after the break. Don't forget the new t-shirt as well. F4WOnline.com/shirts. I met a guy in Vegas with an After Dark shirt. It was awesome. Back in a moment with Tex, Observer Live, and After Dark Radio.
You're clear.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here. After Dark Radio here every Wednesday. 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Big hello to our new affiliate, AM 1550 SLC Sports Radio, Salt Lake City. And very happy today to be joined by Tex Wesson. Been on the show before. I've been on his show. Tex, how you doing today?
Man, if I was any better, it wouldn't be legal.
Wow. Well, I just got back from Vegas, and I saw a lot of stuff that wasn't legal.
But people, it stays there.
People didn't leave better. They left worse.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's been a while since we talked, man. It's good to hear from you.
Yes, it has been. And I'm going to just start off with a bang here because we had somebody in the chat during the break. They just started asking questions. And they want to know, Tex, this probably sounds like a silly question, but based on what we're going to talk about today, maybe not. He wants to know if werewolves are real. How would you answer that question?
I'm going to go with yeah, because after what I saw, I can't say no. I mean, I had my first cryptid experience when I was 16, and I didn't know anything but to call it but a werewolf at the time. Of course, now you got the term dogman, which I don't know if there's a difference. Okay. But I know there's an upright walking canine looking critter out there.
See, that's the question here, because when a normal person who doesn't follow any of this stuff hears werewolf, they think of Lone Chaney or whoever was the werewolf back in the 30s,
right.
And you know, a man who turns into a wolf and then turns back. And you know, there have been stories of, you know, I saw this werewolf-like thing in torn clothes, so perhaps it was a human before. But in general, there's like a difference between the movie werewolf and what could be out there that we would call a werewolf. Correct?
Yeah, that's what we're guessing. I mean, it is what it is. It's a guess. I mean, really, because I don't know anybody that's got one of these things for a pet or got them in captivity to study to see if it switches back and forth. You know, so. But I've heard stories of them being in clothes. I've heard But I've heard the same thing about Bigfoot every once in a while. So if these things have a level of intelligence that we give them credit for, maybe they pick these things up at a, you know, people leave clothes out in the woods all the time. I know I found them out in the woods, just told it up, which is really strange. But steal stuff out of a camp, you know, that type of thing. I don't know. If you go back in the folklore, you know, 100 years, werewolves have been around for a very, very long time, the shapeshifters. And even now, when you start talking about skinwalkers, you know, that's a whole new thing that you throw into the mix with the Native Americans. You know, what does it take to become a skinwalker? You know, and we have to kill a loved one, and you have to do some evil deeds and stuff, and some of it involves cannibalism, you know, and stuff like that. So can the shape shifting happen? I don't know. I have a problem with the whole shape shifting being a thing, because when I start thinking about it, and the physical changes that would have to take place, I don't think the human body and mind could stand up to it. You know, I just really don't.
You know, one of the first guys to really write about this, Jacques Vallée, wrote a very, mm-hmm. very famous book. And, you know, this was probably 50 years ago now. And, you know, what he did was he looked at the UFO phenomenon and he went back in history. And he pointed out how similar it was to all sorts of different mythologies throughout time. I mean, he went back to, like, you know, the Bible. You know, he went to medieval Europe. He talked about fairies. And, you know, his conclusion was, this is the same phenomenon that has been happening forever. And it just gets a different name with each era. And what used to be fairies and fairy circles and fairies abducting children, well, now it's UFOs and crop circles and aliens abducting people. But it's all this. He says it's all the same thing. It's been going on forever. And I guess you can sort of say the same thing with, you know, Bigfoot. The name Bigfoot, that's a new thing. You know, it was coined in the 60s. But that creature, whatever it is, I mean, there have been people reporting that for centuries. And the werewolf, you know, there have been stories of werewolves forever, but whatever it is, it's probably all the same thing.
Well, and that's a theory of mine too, because the things that we deal with, the things that we see when we're out in the field, man, it falls right in line with like what you're talking about that Jacques wrote about, because what we called the Fae hundreds or thousands of years ago matches what a lot of the stories that we're hearing. And not only the stories that we're hearing, a lot of the stuff that I've ran across, you know, and dealt with out in the field. I think we're seeing a lot of the same phenomena. And like you said, we're just putting different labels on it. I'm in the middle of a private investigation. It was supposed to be a dog man investigation that was happening on this private 2,000 acres down here in Texas. And of course, once we get out there, that's not the only, you know, phenomenon we're running into.
What else are you running into?
Well, the last trip out there, we've made about four trips out there. We don't go out there and just spend a couple hours and go home, okay? We don't just sit around and tell stories around a campfire, and that's it. We don't. We go out there, we investigate, and we spend multiple days and multiple nights out there, you know? And I had my first, what you could call a crawler or rake or ghoul, exciting, a few months ago, and I'd never seen one before. But I'll be dadgum if I didn't see one. And we were walking up to this pole barn. There was five of us, and it was late at night. We were walking up to the pole barn to investigate this area because this is 2,000 acres of private land that nobody lives on. there's old structures on this place all over the place. Okay. And they ran across this old pole barn and they said, well, let's go look at it. I said, all right, cool. You know, let's go look at it. So we're walking up to it and I saw this thing go up the side of this barn and on top of it, we're just up the side of the wall and over the top. And it looked like Spider-Man crawling up the wall, but it was so fast, so fast. And it was like a dark ash color. And it was man-shaped, man-sized, and it didn't make a sound going up. The outside walls have been tore off this old barn, but they had wrapped what's called stock wire or hog wire around the barn, I guess, for to hold insulation in at one time.
Sure.
And it went up the side of that wire and on top of a tin roof and never made a sound. And I stopped my tracks. I'm like, what the F is that? Did y'all see that? And so I start walking around. I'm trying to see where this thing went. And there's a set of stairs that are sitting over to the right side of this barn that are like the preformed, the concrete preformed stairs that you use for like a job trailer or whatever. And there's a natural gas pad that's right there next to it. So I'm guessing that's what it was. They used it for a job trailer they had there at one time.
Well, we're gonna head to a break. Hold on one second. I want to talk more about crawlers after the break because I don't think we've ever actually talked about crawlers here on this program. So stick around. Tex Wesson joining us, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Back here in After Dark Radio, Brian Alvarez here, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, Twitch, YouTube, the list goes on and on. Tex Wesson is joining us here today. And every now and then you have a show planned and you've got a bunch of questions you're going to ask, and then the guest says something, and the next thing you know, this whole thing is off the rails and going in a different direction. I need to know more about these crawlers.
Well, you know, I wish I knew more about them. And I wasn't sure what people were seeing. I'd heard stories about them. I've been doing this cryptid research for probably going on 10 years now, and I've never seen anything like it. And I've been in some pretty hinky places, right? And I'm like, what, you know, are people seeing maybe an apparition, you know, or what? But this was totally different. When I saw go up the side of this barn, it was not. I've seen full body apparitions and paranormal investigations and stuff like that, but this was different. It had a whole different vibe to it. There's pictures out there on the internet. If you look up the rake, people call it the rake. They call them crawlers. They call them ghouls. And they're almost like I said, it looks like Spider-Man crawling up the side of the wall. It's really freaky looking.
I Googled it right now, and you know, this somebody in the chat had said, why don't people ever get a video of this? And I was like, I seem to remember that I'd seen, it was like a picture, a video, or whatever. And most famous one, if you just Google The Rake, there's going to be 1,000 photos of the same one. And, you know, it's one of those deals where when you see it, you're like, okay, well, you know, that one's, you know, somebody made that in AI or whatever.
Right.
And there have been a few videos that I've seen of something resembling what you would call a crawler. And it's always kind of the same thing about, well, yeah, you know, which kind of, we'll get back to the crawlers in a second, but I got to ask you this question because I got a friend who's really into Bigfoot, and he's always sending me videos and he's always sending me pictures. And the funny thing about Bigfoot pictures is, like, Sometimes you'll send a photo and it's like, it's totally blurry. It could be anything. And so your first thought is, well, you know, you can't see anything, you know, it could be whatever. It probably not a Bigfoot. It's just a blur. And then he'll send another picture that's like remarkably clear. And because it's so remarkably clear, my brain then goes, well, that one's got to be fake. Look at how clear it is. And you start kind of thinking, well, what would convince me? Because if the picture's too good, you presume it's a fake or it's AI. If the picture sucks, you presume, well, it's just, it could be a picture of anything. And, you know, how do you, like, what do you see in pictures where you're like, okay, you know what? I think that one's real.
You know, real quick, I want to touch on that because it is. It's a catch-22 situation. Because if you got one of these pictures and that looks nothing but like a blurry bush, or if you get one that's too clear, you know, you can't satisfy anybody. Because if it's not a good picture, well, that sucks. You know, that could be anything. It's pareidolia. If you get a good picture, everybody says it's fake. So what are you supposed to do? I don't, honestly, I can't, especially with AI the way it is, I cannot trust a picture from anybody that I don't personally know.
Sure.
I can't, and I hate to be that way, but, and I know a lot of people, don't get me wrong, but I just, unfortunately, technology has just kind of killed that little niche as far as that research goes. Personally, I rely more on the physical hard evidence, you know, the forensic stuff, and which, you know, we've got the handprints that we pulled out of the field, right? That was on my truck. And I've had them looked at by fingerprint experts, wildlife experts, and they all tell me the same thing. I can't tell you what that is, but it's not human. The shape of the hand, the dermal ridges, the fingerprints, they're human-esque, but they're not human. They're primate-esque, but they're not primate, you know, because every human fingerprint without exception swirl, okay, period. These do not. They go straight across like a primate's, but the hand shape is more human. The only difference is where the thumb is located. It's located on these handprints, the lower, you would have to disjoint your thumb to be able to imitate these handprints.
Well, that's basically where an ape's thumb is located, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, and it's not just handprints. You know, that one picture that I've got of the print of my favorite print is the one that's on the side of my truck, and it's got a hand, a forearm, and an elbow. The forearm, it looks like a paintbrush did it. Because the hair is so thick, right? Well, I get asked, well, how do you know that, you know, that was made there? Well, because they weren't there 30 minutes before, and then they appeared. So, and the whole, that's not the only thing that happened that night during that 30-minute period. When I was doing a solo show up in the cemetery, my safety team was down the hill 100 feet away from me, and they were in their truck, and then my truck was parked right next to them. My phone died, so they rushed up the hill to make sure I was okay. And by the time we got back down there, it was about 30 minutes. Okay, these handprints were not on our trucks beforehand. And they were when they got back. But the other thing is, when they let out to come get me, they rushed. They dropped everything. They left the keys in their truck. The truck was unlocked, open, there was thousands of dollars of electronics left in the truck. The tailgate was up, and there was a bear-proof Yeti cooler in the back of the truck that was closed and latched. When we came back down, the tailgate was down. The Yeti cooler had been opened, and it had been closed but not latched. There was water dripped. Looked like somebody or something had taken a scoop of water and ice to get a drink out of the cooler and had dribbled ice and water over the tailgate. Up on the top of his cab were two handprints on the edge of the top of the cab with water droplets between them. Okay, I've got a long beard. That happens when you scoop water out of something and you get a drink out of your hands. You get it in your beard and it drops down in front of you. There was and all these handprints were smaller than anybody that was there. There was three of us, and they were smaller than anybody's hands. But we could not replicate the spread between the forefinger and the thumb. Okay?
So you guys had bigger hands than the handprint you found?
Yeah. We identified three different sets of prints, and they were all small prints. None of them were higher than the edge of the bed of the truck or over the hood of the truck.
So you would presume if this were a Bigfoot, it was a juvenile?
Absolutely. That's what we believe. Because there's a marsh area right across the road from where we were parked, and that one handprint, most of the handprints are rubbing dust off of the trucks. That one set of handprints is muddier than my truck, dirtier than my truck. I had a long shot. So what we theorize is these things were over in that marsh area watching us do our thing. And when they saw them take off, they came over there to investigate and play around. So
would you say, obviously, aside from your own personal sighting, that would be the best evidence you've ever come up with? That you could show somebody on like a photo and they're going to be like, okay, well, you know, that one's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. That handprint and another one we got several months later at a campsite a couple miles down the road off of another buddy of mine's truck. In camp, there was five or six of us sitting around campfire, and we were all talking. His SUV was parked over next to a gully, and about 20 feet away from the campfire, 25, something like that. And we were going around beside his SUV and taking a leak.
Well, hold that thought. What a time to cut you off. But we'll be back with the rest of the story after the break. After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
You're clear.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, every Wednesday, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. Tex Wesson joining us here today in the middle of a tale that I believe we left off. You guys were heading to take a leak. Is that right?
Yeah, we were. What we were doing is, like I said, the SUV was about 25 feet away from the campfire. We were all sitting around a campfire, and we would go behind this old boy's SUV, and that's where we were all going to take a leak, right? No big deal. Well, he goes back, he gets up, and he goes over to take a leak. And we think, hey, which one of you, sorry, you know, blankety blank, SOBs or whatever, put your greasy paw on my hand, on my truck? We're like, what are you talking about? He goes, y'all come here and look at this. And on the top of his, close to the top of his cab or his SUV was this handprint that was very, very oily, okay? And it was bigger than anybody's there. And I got pretty good-sized paws. I mean, I wear a size 17 and a half, 18 ring, okay? I got pretty good-sized hands. And this thing was bigger by a long shot than anybody's there, okay? And we get to look around and say, oh, my God, you know? And we look down. We just happened to look down. And where you could see where we had been peeing in the sand right there. And covering up our stuff was this, looked like a Clydesdale had just cut loose. And it was about 2.5 feet around, wet spot. Like, holy crap. This thing had leaned on his SUV, watching us over the top of this thing at the campfire, and decided to mark his territory right there. And so we pulled the handprint. We got it in a baggie, in a freezer. And we're trying to find the right place that we trust to send it off for DNA results. Okay, is what we're looking at doing. And the first thing I get asked all the time, well, did you get a soil sample of where the wet spot was? Why? Because when you send these DNA samples in, the first thing they tell you is, oh, it's contaminated with human DNA, because that's part of what they get. Well, we had already been peeing there. So that was null and void. We couldn't argue. If it came back, they told us it was contaminated, we had no argument against it. So we didn't take a sample of that. But we do have the handprint that's got the oils from the handprint. And that's a new study that we can possibly draw DNA from that. So as soon as we find a place that we trust, we're going to send that off to get DNA results. But it's really hard, because one of the things that the DNA results get back is, oh, it's not in the database. Okay, personally, I think it flags it to give it that result, if that makes any sense. But,
I guess that would be the question that people would ask. So you know, when you take a DNA sample, presumably the best you're going to get is either, well, that's a human, that's a horse, or
right. We
don't know what it is. And not right. Knowing what it is doesn't necessarily mean it's anything. They just can't tell based on the DNA what it is, correct?
Exactly.
So it's kind of really the best DNA is going to tell you is it's not a horse, for example.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, you know, like I said, it will come back human, you know, human DNA. Well, why wouldn't it? You know, of some kind of human anyway, which I think these things are, as far as Bigfoot goes. I think somewhere down the evolutionary chain or tree, we went left and they went right. You know, no different than like Neanderthals and Denisovans and the many, many more now, 12, I think, different subspecies of humans that they found, you know? I mean, they've given us a 10-foot bipedal ape, which I can epithecus, but what's weird is the Bigfoot community dismissed that. And I'm like, why? They gave you Bigfoot on a silver platter. They just didn't call it Bigfoot. They flat out told you, oh yeah, guess what? Now there was a 10-foot bipedal ape walking around, you know, 100,000 years ago or whatever. Well, okay. That's one step closer to what we've been trying to get out there, folks. Don't argue with it.
You know,
I don't get it.
It's funny because we were off last week, but April 9th, the last guest we had on was a fellow by the name of Jim Myers, and he is very much in the paranormal camp. He is not in the animal camp. And
yes,
you know, as you're well aware, I think most people listening to this are well aware, there are multiple Bigfoot camps, you know, what people believe this thing is, if it exists. And his argument is basically, you know, it could be an animal, but like there are so many reports of like things that happen that you cannot explain if Bigfoot is an animal, that like if we're really going to take into account all of these reports, like we have to consider, you know, maybe it's not. Otherwise, you're just throwing out reports, he believes. That, you know, you can't take him seriously because maybe this Bigfoot went into a UFO, or maybe this Bigfoot vanished, or something that could not be explained by it being an animal. So he's in the paranormal camp.
Right. And I understand that because it's like I said earlier, what we see out in the field, it's sometimes very, very hard to explain. And I've seen things happen that I can't, you know, put a name to. But most of the things that I've either seen or I've heard about Bigfoot, I can explain by being either a physical creature or you've got a different phenomenon going on. Okay? The whole putting the UFO thing. All right. Do UFO abductions take place with humans? Yeah. Are they interested in animals with the whole mutilation thing? Sure seems that way. So why wouldn't they be abducting Bigfoot as well?
So your argument would be that the Bigfoot did not willingly go into a UFO or et cetera. It would have been abducted like any other, like a cattle mutilation.
Absolutely.
All right. You know, we're going to kind of move away from crawlers because I got to get this question in because I was thinking about it the other day. So my buddy has got a bunch of cams set up and he's got some trail cams and he got like a weird picture, but then, you know, he looked at it a few minutes later and it turned out it was like a deer or something because there was another picture of a deer shortly thereafter. And, you know, the trail cam, I guess it tries to determine via AI maybe what something might be, which is kind of weird because it's got a picture of this deer, but then the trail cam says human activity under species, even though it's a deer. And the picture of the deer, you can only see like one of the legs and part of its head. But if you look at it in the right way, it's like, God, I could almost argue that deer looks like it's on two legs, which... And then I kind of made a joke, like maybe this deer was on two legs. That's why it said human activity. And then I got thinking about it. I got thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? I would rather, personally, run into, like, a Bigfoot than a deer walking on its hind legs. I don't like animals walking on their hind legs. It creeps me out more than, like, anything else. I mean, are there reports of deer walking on their hind legs?
Yes, there is. It's called a not deer.
A not deer?
A not deer. N-O-T, deer. Not deer.
Okay, tell me about it.
It's a relatively new phenomenon that we've been running across that's called that. See, that's just
actually,
it.
Yeah, some guy in the chat just goes, Brian needs to look into this not deer phenomenon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, from the reports that I've heard and the descriptions and all this, it's kind of sounds like the whole Wendigo thing to me. I don't know, but it's something that I haven't really dug into. I haven't sunk my teeth into it yet. But it is a growing phenomenon. There's growing sightings of them, but they're being called not deers. And I'm kind of leaning towards it being a Wendigo. I don't know.
So what do they do? They just see deer walking on their hind legs or do they do stuff? Do they, I mean, what is reported?
From what I've, like I said, I haven't dug my teeth into it, but from what I'm understanding, they just see them walking just like Bigfoot encounters. I don't know what kind of interactions they're having because I haven't really dug into it yet. I've got my hands full with crawlers, dogmen, and freaking Bigfoot right now.
I was going to say, yeah. You know, dogman is another one. So it's like a dog walking on its hind legs. I hate animals walking on their hind legs. This to me is far more horrifying than a Bigfoot or any... I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I don't want to see it.
Well, it's the whole Uncanny Valley phenomenon.
I think that is what it is. I'd rather see a crawler than a deer walking on its hind legs.
I can't disagree with you. I really can't. I don't know. The not deer phenomenon is really strange, but I think it's going to be again one of these things that have been happening for hundreds or thousands of years and we just slapped another label on it.
Well, it's funny you mention that because, you know, if you look at a lot of First Nations art, I mean, tons of drawings of deer walking on their hind legs. And of course, the explanation would be, well, you know, it's part of a ceremony. They put the deer antlers on and everything. But I mean, there's a lot of drawings, pictographs, etc., of like deer on their hind legs.
Yeah, there is. You know, and the whole not deer thing is, I think, tied into the deer woman phenomenon. That's another thing.
What's the deer woman? And,
well, it's looks like a female human-esque deer walking around with two legs.
I don't like Don't like it one bit.
It's creepy, you know. I can't say that one walks through my camp. It's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna end up being on the smoker. I'm just saying, I like deer.
Yeah, that's the other problem. That's the other problem is let's say you're at your camp and this not deer walks through the camp. You're like, oh my god, here's this deer walking on his hind legs, this creep, and you shoot it. Well, now you've got a deer carcass. So then you try to explain to people, well, yeah, this deer was walking on his hind legs, and they're like, it's just a deer. This is unlike a Bigfoot. You even if you had a carcass, it means nothing. It's a deer. Huh.
Yeah. Well, and I'm unless it's not.
Well, I mean, that's true, yeah. I mean. Well, it is not a deer, allegedly. It's a not deer.
Yeah. What if it's more human than, say, deer? What if it's a like you said, what if it's some kind of subspecies of human, and they're just wearing antlers, and you killed this thing? You know, I mean, and that's the whole argument with killing a Bigfoot, too, or one of them, anyway. I don't support the whole kill theory. I really don't. Why is it as humans that when we encounter something we don't know what it is, first thing we want to do is put it on the dadgum wall?
Bad karma for when those aliens come.
Yeah, right?
Hey, stand by. We got to go to a break. Back in just a moment with more Tex West and After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Back on the show, Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio, Tex West, and joining us. An hour is not long enough for these shows. We're going to get you back on very soon because I have a lot of research to do, a lot to learn about here. But for those of you that love the show, love listening to Tex, he's got a YouTube channel and a conference coming up. So Tex, we got about 90 seconds here. Let's get some plugs in for all of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're over here on YouTube and really anywhere you can find a podcast. But if you're not watching the YouTube videos, you're really missing out because we don't hide our evidence. Everything that I've talked about tonight, the handprints and more, you've got vocals and footprints and everything else, that's on the channel. We call ourselves the Island of Misfit Toys because there's several channels that we all work together. You've got the Bonds of the Booze. You've got Bigfoot Michigan Rob, Donnie Cho Said Stuff, Danielle, Tea Time with Danielle Diva, Fascinating Woman, Our Paranormal World with Monica Rollins, Paranormal Among Us with Paul. There's a lot of us. We're all friends. Randy Gilbert with Truth or Tenfold. A lot of us are hard skeptics, and we are our own hardest skeptic, okay? We're not going to tell you what this is. We're going to give you our opinion. We don't try to pass our opinion off as fact, all right? Now, we have put together a conference. It's our first one. It's in Richmond, Missouri, September 19th and 20th. It's called the Crossing Realms Conference. We've got just a who's who of the UFO, paranormal, and cryptid world that's going to be at this thing.
Well, listen, I hate to cut you up, but we are totally out of time, but that is coming up, and next time Tex is on, which will be long in advance of that conference, we're going to talk a lot more about it. So, Tex, thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you next time. After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.